Hello, everyone.
Queen's Club. I'm so happy to be with you today. I don't know, it's very special. It's special to be with people who have experienced some success and looking for their next step. And it's just very cool. It's very cool to be here. Okay, I'm going to bring Coach Ashley up so that she can help us out in the Q&A and in the chat if there is anything that you need. And so this is open coaching for members of the Queen's Club, people who have lost at least 25 pounds. And you can go ahead and raise your hand if you want to be coached. But I wanted to tell you that I got a note in our support emails this morning asking for a special request, a special question. And it has to do with what do you do? How do you manage a lot of emotion at one time? Now, think about it. This can happen like right now around the holidays when you're feeling overwhelmed and dread and doubt, and I don't know what to do. Or it can happen if you lose a loved one, it can happen based on news events, it can happen at work. You can get a flood of emotions, and you need to know how to manage them without just totally like zoning out and going to the vending machine and saying, this is intolerable. My job as your coach is to teach you how to be okay with feeling any feeling, because honestly, there's no feeling that's right or wrong. Okay? We have feelings, emotions as part of our human experience. It's almost like a part of the gifts we're given as being human beings. We have these emotions. And it's interesting to me, I think about this a lot. I think about emotions a lot. It's interesting to me about how none of us has trouble tolerating happy or joy or excited or love, right? It's the other side of the emotional spectrum that we get nervous about. Anxiety, worry, depression, sadness, things like that, doubt. So, I'm going to give you a few tips this morning on how to manage emotions that you are uncomfortable feeling. Okay. And I want you to know that anything worry-based, like anxiety, is always focused on the future. We are always, wondering what's going to happen. Worried about, how is this going to affect me? And we just don't know. We don't know until it plays out. And I think that's what creates the anxiety, the worry, the fear, right? Is that we don't know. So, what I always tell people is when you have an emotion like that, I want you to pull yourself back into the present. Think about, you know me, I'm the big hand on the heart girl. Put your hand on your heart and you say, right here, right now, I'm okay. Right here, right now, behind this desk, on this Zoom call, in my home, with my people, everything is all right. That's so important. That is called orienting. And the meditation that Corinne put into the Quick Hits podcast is all about orienting to your present moment. What can you see? What can you touch? What can you hear? What can you smell? What can you taste right now, here in the present moment? And when you orient yourself to your current environment, you're almost always going to create just a little bit of safety for yourself and your emotions. Okay, so you do that first. When you feel an influx of emotion, orient. Hand on your heart, or sit, close your eyes, take a deep breath, and say, right here, right now, in this moment, I'm okay. Right here, right now, in this moment, I'm okay. And once you feel like your agitation is coming down a little bit, think about what you're thinking about. Because when we have these influx of emotions that are triggered by all those things I mentioned in the beginning, whether it's family members or holidays or the news or work or friend drama or kids or whatever, when we have those emotions, we're almost always thinking something first. So you sit and you ask yourself, what am I feeling? And why am I feeling this? And when you get to the why I'm feeling this part, you're going to have a list of thoughts. Okay? And you go through that list of thoughts and you think, is this one going to suit me? Is this one I can really lean into? Is this one that's, a throwaway? How do I, go through, think about what you're thinking about, and then kind of pull them apart. I'll keep these, I won't keep these. Okay? So that's what you're doing. You're acknowledging that first step, you're acknowledging the emotion, and you're acknowledging the thinking behind it. Then the second step is to normalize. Okay? And what that means is, of course I think this. I feel very passionately about XYZ. Of course I think this. In my past, I've seen this go wrong and I'm worried it's going to go wrong again. Of course, I think this. Normalize. This is the compassionate step. This allows you to look at what you're thinking and give yourself grace for thinking it. So important, because when we give ourselves grace, when we exercise a little self-compassion, guess what? Tension comes down a little bit. And then the last step is permission to feel, and this is the toughie. Okay, this is the one that we always want to run from. I don't want to feel this. I don't want to feel the sadness. I don't want to feel the grief. I don't want to feel the worry. I don't want to feel the anxiety. Why not? If a feeling is a collection of things that you feel inside, like a rapid heartbeat or stomach upset or something like that, don't we feel those things a lot? So the best way that I have come up with so far to actually examine how we're feeling and give ourselves permission to feel is an app called How to Feel. It is so cool. It's free on Apple. I don't know about Android. Somebody can tell me in the chat if they tried it on Android, but it's an app called How to Feel. And you open the app and it says, it asks you to identify your feeling. And then what's going on around you? Are you at work? Are you by yourself? There's even a place where you can journal, what the feeling feels like in your body. If you put yourself to work on that, you begin to build your own feelings inventory and you begin to normalize your reaction, your emotional reaction to whatever is bothering you. So, my friend who wrote in to support this morning, I think you're here. I hope that is helpful. I hope it's helpful actually to all of you as you progress, through the holidays, through, whatever it is that is creating you your own emotional distress. Then if you have any trouble with it, just email us, send us a Ask Coaches, right? We are in there all the time and ready and willing and able to help you work through whatever is upsetting your weight loss and your well-being. Okay? Everybody good? Thumbs up? Clear? Thumbs up? Yes. How we feel. How we feel. Okay. Thank you. All right. Let's get to coaching. Yes, Kathy, I'm here. And I thank you so much for your support. Absolutely. You are very, very welcome. Laura, you didn't miss anything. I got a note in Help Scout asking me to, or Help Scout, support, a note at support asking me to go over how to process big emotions this morning. So I gave you a snippet. All right, Kate. I only have one hand, y'all. So if you want to be coached today, raise your hand. Because you got me for an hour. So let's do this, right? Kate, bringing you up. Let's see what you got.
Hey.
Hi there. How are you?
Hi. You're always so put together and showered, and I am post-workout, and this is happening.
Well,
So.
you could have seen me a couple hours ago when I was post my walk, but I can't. I'm not one of those people that can come to work without, shower and dressed.
I'm impressed. Very
I just,
impressed.
I don't know. It's just my DNA, I suppose. Maybe it was growing up with a Navy dad.
That
He
could be
always
it.
spit shined, right?
For sure. For sure.
What do you want coaching on? What's going on?
So I'm that opening actually really helped me a lot. I got some news about my dad who is going through a potential, he might have cancer. And I live about 3,000 miles away from my parents. It's still, sorry, the tears will probably come. It's still early. They caught it early, hopefully, but he definitely has a spot on his lung that they did a little test and it glowed in some of his lymph nodes. And I'm going to talk about eating disorder behavior just to warn people if they don't want to hear it. But over the past couple of weeks, I've binged and purged a couple of times, which is how I've dealt with really hard things in the past. And I haven't had to deal with anything big for about a year and a half. A year and a half ago, I lost my job. I'm doing great now. But I gained a pretty significant amount of weight back after that happened. And so I just wanted to get on today and talk about how I can handle just the guilt of being so far away, dealing with the unknowns for a little while. My mother is a, I'll say she's a bit of a bulldog to be a health advocate for my dad. So I know he's in very good hands and will get incredible treatment. But just trying to figure out how, I love him so much and just trying to figure out how I'm going to get through this. And I don't want to, I mean, at this point, I don't want to gain weight back, but that doesn't really compare to everything else that's going on, but I don't want to. I want to take very good care of myself during all of this because that feels really important to make sure that I'm at my best to support my parents. And also the guilt of being so far away is what's really like part of me is like, I need to just pack up my life and go back to where they are. But, I don't know how realistic that is. So sorry, that was a bit of a ramble, but this is
No, that's perfect.
okay.
Thank you. First, I want to acknowledge and completely support, two hands in the air, the fact that you want to take care of yourself through this. You need to like post that amazing self-compassionate thought everywhere. Whenever, especially in the places where you go when things get hard. Maybe you get one of those marker mirrors. I'm taking care of myself today. I really want to take care of myself today, something like that, because that's a beautiful thought. And the fact that you're here does support that 100%. So
Yeah.
good on you. Good on
Thank
you.
you. Thank you.
Tell me, let's talk about the guilt. Tell me why you feel guilty.
I moved, they're on the East Coast, I'm on the West Coast. I moved away right after college. And this is the first, and I'm so lucky for this. They're, 76 and 80. My dad's about to turn 80. And this is the first big of like health event they've had. And I wish I was closer to drive them to appointments to, they live about an hour away from the hospital where he needs to go to get his care. And they have a lot of friends around, but my brother doesn't live there either. And so, yeah, I feel guilty about living so far away from them.
Okay, so here's an interesting point I want to show you. The very first things you told me were where you lived versus where they lived, when you moved away, how old they were, and this is their first major health event. Those are all the facts.
Yes.
Facts don't create guilt. What you're thinking
Yes.
creates the guilt, right?
Yes.
And the only thought I picked up was, I wish I was closer.
Yeah, I feel like a shitty daughter for not being closer to help them.
That's the one. I'm a
Yes.
shitty daughter. I feel like a shitty daughter.
Which, bless my mother, she reminds me of that. I move very far away a lot. She's going through a hard time, so I don't want to necessarily speak ill to her, but there's a lot of reasons I moved 3,000 miles away.
But are they so up until now, did you ever feel guilty about being 3,000 miles away?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Why?
Absolutely. The same thing. That there were expectations on me. My mother and her mother were always very, very close, like seeing each other every day. And I think there were expectations that my relationship would be the same, and it wasn't. And I hear about it a lot. So,
Yeah, but they can say all kinds of words. I mean,
yes.
they can say you should be blonde or you should be a redhead or you should just go gray. And you get to filter everything they say through a lens of what you want,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But for some reason, your filter isn't working when it comes to what your mom is saying about your move,
Yes.
about that kind of thing. So
Yes.
why not? Why doesn't the filter work?
The filter, through many years of therapy, my filter has gotten a lot better taking in the information and what she says to me. I think this time it just feels very real. That it truly is a reason why I should be closer. Before it wasn't, it was more of a what could have been, what could be, hypotheticals. And now it feels like, okay, this is why I should be there. This is.
Is this, and this is you feeling that, thinking that,
Correct.
not she says I should be closer.
Not
This
at
is.
all. And that's the thing. And I think the sweetest thing about them is when they told me this week, they were both very chipper and we're gonna be fine. Are you up? Like they could hear me crying and they're like, are you gonna be okay? I'm like, oh my God, you guys, this isn't about me right now. Like this is about you. And they were very worried because they know how I am. I have big feelings and they know how much I love my dad. And no, I didn't. I took that subtext on myself. No question.
Okay, good to know. Good to
Yeah.
know. So how
Yeah.
is that benefiting you? Because if you took it on, there must be some reason that it works for you.
It doesn't work for me.
Oh.
It's not doing me any good. It really isn't.
Okay.
It's sorry, my cat just got off my lap, so I'm going to shift a little bit here. No, it's not doing me any good. It's making me feel really terrible.
Okay.
Oh.
So why, I want to say why you keep thinking
I think it's
it.
an easier feeling than thinking about what might be true about my dad, which is, I can't think about him dying. I can't. It's too hard. And so it's I know that's why I'm doing this. I'm just trying to replace that with something that feels like, oh, I can do something, or I'll make myself feel terrible in a different way because that other thought's too much. So yeah, that's why I'm doing this. And
So
I know.
good. So good that you see that. Amazing that you see
Absolutely.
that. That many, many times, y'all, guilt is covering a realer, truer emotion.
Yeah.
It's so easy. We are so used to just beating ourselves up, finding our lack, that it's so easy to go there instead of to what's really, really bothering us. Okay. So I'm awesome. Awesome. Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you for being so open about that.
Yeah.
So are you ready to move on to your dad now that we understand the guilt? And
Yes, absolutely.
unnecessary. Well, let's wrap up guilt for a minute.
Okay.
There are things you can do 3,000 miles away to support your parents. Go to work on finding those things. Okay. You can, I don't know. I can give you ideas. Facebook group can give you ideas. You know your parents well. You said your mom is a bulldog.
Oh my
Right?
God. She's
And we'll make sure
probably
his
every
care is
doctor's
good.
nightmare. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
She,
So,
yes.
I mean, I would let her bulldog it out, right?
We don't have a choice. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, don't just oh, that's it. But that's something self-compassionate you can do for yourself is let her be her and let her
Yes.
take care of things and not get in the middle of that. So put your brain to work on how you can support your mom and your dad from where you are. Okay. And that should help at least, take the temperature down on the guilt. Now, boy, am I glad I had that little 8 or 9 minutes of how to feel the hard stuff this morning before we got
That was
on.
super helpful. Yeah.
Because your brain, when you say you can't think about him dying, it's your brain, it has an open loop. Okay. And what I mean by an open loop is it has an unanswered question. You are probably what-ifing yourself in a lot of ways. What if this happens? What if this happens? What if I can't get there? What if I don't know? What if, what if, what if, what if? It sounds simple, but you have to answer those questions to give yourself some certainty. So if we go to, you mentioned he has a spot on his lung that lit up and a spot in his lymph nodes. So let's go to what if he has to have surgery?
He probably will. He's going to have a biopsy as soon as they can get it scheduled, and then he will probably have to have surgery.
Okay. How does that feel?
Very logical. Very. I know he's in very good hands.
Okay. Awesome. All right. What if he has to have treatment after surgery?
Yeah, I mean, I have the means and the flexibility that I could get on a plane tomorrow and be there. And I can also help them find, they don't really need help financially, but I absolutely could just to kind of, get meals to them, make sure people are there helping them. There's a lot I could do. I work remotely. I could go live there for a few. My husband and cat probably wouldn't love that very much, but I could go live there if I had to.
Okay. How does that feel when you talk about those things?
That I know that I have the ability to.
Is it but in your
Oh,
body, or is it
good, good.
agitating?
It's
Is it
no.
normalizing? Is it
It's
okay? Is
helping me
it
calm down a little bit.
okay? Yeah. So you can see as we progress through the what if questions that I'm just making up, I'm assuming, you might be thinking that the temperature starts to come down a little bit when you answer them, when you close that loop. Okay. I don't know if you know this, but I've had breast cancer. So there is some part of me that has gone through something similar to you, when it comes to that. And I can tell you 100% what kept me settled and sane and calm was grounding myself in the facts. And in today, if my brain started going to, what if I die? What if I have to have chemo? What about my job? What are my kids going to think? All that kind of stuff. The tension in my body, the agitation just kept going up and up and up and up. Okay. I had to answer the what if questions, and then I would pull out my pathology report. And I would look at the notes my doctor made on it about what my treatment was. And I decided to trust that she knew what she was talking about. This team of doctors that I had knew what they were talking about. And I was going to trust them and do everything they said I needed to do. That's what I need you to do with regard to your dad. You've already told me your mom is a bulldog. She's going to make sure his care is exactly what he needs. Their demeanor on the phone call, how would you describe it? Easy, accepting, patient?
They've been working. My dad has had some other like heart issues and things through the years. So they have a great team of doctors. They've known for a long time. He's going to the one of the best. They're near Buffalo, New York, and there's a hospital called Roswell that's dedicated to cancer. So he's in very good hands, and they'd probably send me the pathology reports if I asked them to, because I'm And by the way, I'm so sorry to hear that you had that. I'm so
Oh,
happy
it,
you are.
listen, everything that Kathy goes through in her life, I figure out a way to help you all with.
That's
So
beautiful. Thank you.
I, you know, it's fine. It's fine. It's, you know, I have a couple extra doctor's appointments each year now. You know, I will manage each day as it comes, and I will take the best care of myself each day as it comes. That's what I want for you, Kate, is to process your emotions, understand what you're feeling, think about what you're thinking about, ground in the facts. And if you do those four things, I just counted them on my fingers, the need to binge and hide from them will likely decrease. Okay. But you have to close your loops. You have to care for yourself. You have to acknowledge what you're feeling. You have to normalize it. Of course you're worried. You love your dad. Right? I mean, to me, that's easy. Right? And you want what's best for him. And stay present. You know, we have none of us has a crystal ball that works. None of us. There are people who claim, I don't believe them. Okay? And we have to, so when we start catastrophizing, and let me tell you something, I am one of the best in the world at catastrophizing. Just ask Corinne. She used to call me and say, Kathy, I have this idea. What could go wrong?
Oh my God.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because I'm really
I
good
have
at
that
that.
beautiful ability too. Yes.
Yes. I have to pull myself back into the present and say, based on what I know, it could be this, but I'm not sure. And that thought brings me back into the present and reminds me that I don't have a crystal ball that works.
And I had a great conversation with my dad. I called him this week and he's like, Katie, I trust that, I have great doctors. He's like, I'm not worried. I've been sick before. And he's like, people have taken great care of me and I will be okay. And he believes it. So I can just believe along with him too, but I also want to be realistic about
Well,
it.
I think that's really a good point. You can say, you can calm yourself by saying, Dad's not worried at all. And it's him. It's all about him. I'm worried because I think these things, because I feel this way about him. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong or right to feel about this. Where it goes haywire is when you don't manage it in a way that supports your own well-being. And that's why we have those that acknowledge, normalize, permission to feel, use the app protocol, orient protocol. Because your brain's going to go sideways, right? You just want to be able to bring it back and say, of course I feel this way. That doesn't mean I need to get in my own way and you know, affect my own well-being. It just means I love him.
Absolutely.
Has
He's my
how does
hero.
huh?
He's my hero. And I think part of it is just hard to see someone who has always been so strong and so dependable potentially go through something like this.
Yeah, but he's still strong and dependable,
Absolutely. Absolutely.
right?
No question.
Yeah. Yeah, he's still right now, today, he is strong and dependable.
100%. And he
And he
always will
might be
be.
tomorrow. We just don't know.
Thank you.
Does that help?
Yeah. And I need to let myself cry and be upset if I need to, just because
Yeah.
that's how I'm feeling right now.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah. Crying is actually a really effective emotional release, as is journaling. Okay.
I
I
journaled
have,
this
you know, if,
morning.
what's that? You journaled
I
this morning?
journaled this morning.
Good. Good. Crying releases a hormone in your brain called oxytocin, which kind of balances the emotion. It's the oxytocin is a feel-good hormone. We don't always feel great after we cry, but sometimes there is a little bit of relief after we cry. Right?
Absolutely. And when I was on the phone with them, I definitely like tried to suck it up a little bit and stop crying. And I know I need to get it out. So I'll get
Well,
it out.
and honestly, it sounds like they had all their ducks in a row to give you all the information that you needed to be okay with this when they called that. I did the same thing. I knew for, I don't know, 3 weeks before I ever told anybody. I think I told my boss, who was Betsy at the time, Coach Betsy at the time. And I said, I just need you to know I have a lot of appointments and I need you to be a vault because I'm not ready to talk about this until I can give some assurances. I feel good and I can give some assurances to the people that I care about. And she was. So your parents care about you so much that they made sure they were ready to talk about it in a way that you could interpret as maybe this is going to be okay. How about that? What a
They
gift.
absolutely did. Like in a couple of weeks prior, my mom had mentioned my dad has a doctor's appointment to take a scan, and he shushed her. I'm like, what? I heard scan. What's going on, guys? And yeah, he didn't want me to know until, and I'm the same way with them. Like I won't share anything medical with them until I am 100% sure I know what's going on. And so, yeah, they're good people.
And so that was them grounding in the facts too, so that they felt like they were ready to open
Yes.
up and say, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
They're great. They're
That's pretty
great.
cool.
Yeah. Kathy, you're awesome. Thank you so much. That I just my body feels so much better right now.
Good.
And I'm taking really good care of myself today, making
Good.
sure I get in a lot of good nutrition and exercise and
Yeah.
rest. So
Yeah. I want you breathing too. Make sure when you start to get upset, your breathing gets real shallow. Make sure it's nice and deep, especially the exhales. When you start to get upset, make sure you're breathing, and that will also help you calm. And listen to this as often as you need to, because you said some really, really insightful things that you're gonna wanna recall. Okay?
yeah, I don't remember any of it right now, so I'll definitely
That's
go
okay. The
listen.
recording will be up in a day or two, so you got this.
All
I'll
right.
be
Thank you
thinking
so
about
much.
you, okay? Holler at
I
us if we
appreciate it.
can. You're welcome if we
I
can
will
help.
for sure. Thank
Okay.
you.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
Okay. Laura, you're next. And she's the only hand, y'all. Anybody else wants to be coached today, bring it. Hello.
Hi. I have these headphones on. I'm not sure if this is going to work or if I need to take them off. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. You're a little muffled. Where is the microphone in the headphones?
There is none. Let me take them off. Okay, can you hear me now?
That's actually a little bit worse. Where's the microphone that you're trying to speak into? Is it in your phone?
What I did is I connected the headphones to the thing, and I need to probably go back into settings and un. Oh wait, it's the button. I'm not having, but I just figured it out.
Okay.
Disconnect.
Oh, now I can't hear you at all. Tell you what, Laura, what do you think about me putting you back as attendee? Raise your hand again. Get everything sorted out and I'll get you next, okay?
Okay.
Oh, I just heard you.
Oh, okay. I can
Oh,
hear
that's
you too.
good. That's good.
Okay. So you did something. You're magical.
Oh, I did nothing.
Okay. Something worked.
Okay.
Okay. That was my question this morning.
Yeah, I know.
And
I recognize your name.
yeah, it's unusual. What I wanted to talk about, though, instead of veering into
Yeah, we'll just talk about the
areas,
feelings. Yeah.
yeah, big feelings. The last part of every year is really difficult for me. My mom passed away in 2016 on October 28th. We're coming up on my dad's anniversary on December 4th.
of 2010. My sister just came down for a visit and we just got back from the cemetery. She's on her way home. And we stopped and got roses and went to Vaughn's and got roses and showed up there. And I said, to myself, I want this to be a positive thing. I don't want us to be weeping. Not that that would have been bad, but so we sat there on the bench at my grandmother's, right nearby my parents, and we laid flowers there and took a picture. And I said, "What's your favorite memory of Nanny?" And she shared one, and I shared one. And then we got in the car and drove a little bit away. And there was a bench in front of my folks where they're interred. And I did the same thing. I said, let's share your favorite memory of mom, your favorite memory of dad. And I turned it into a positive. And I thought, now where did I learn to do that? And it was like, obviously, no BS. And I'm learning each year as I've been in the program for almost 5 in January to reach down somewhere deep and remember the coaching. And this year, it's not as hard, but it's still hard.
Yep.
When I was listening to Kate's coaching, I thought, oh, I'm so lucky to still have those parents.
Kate's parents are still living,
Right? And she's
right?
lucky.
And she, but here's why she's lucky. Okay? The only thing she has that you and I don't have because our parents are gone is the ability to have a two-sided conversation.
Yeah.
Right?
I miss that.
Yeah. Do you have one-sided conversations with them now?
I do.
I do too. My dad's anniversary is November 29th. My mom's is passed. She died in the summertime. But I still talk to him. In fact, every time, I don't know, it's a tradition here in the South. Maybe it is other places too. If you see a cardinal, a red cardinal, it's supposed to mean that your loved one has come back to visit.
Oh, I like that.
I know, I do too. So every time I see a cardinal, I start talking to my dad. I'm like, oh, hey, dad, thanks for the visit. Here's what's going on these days. Although, of course, you know that because you're in heaven watching, and
Right.
you got my back. And, I just start having this conversation. How do you know which loved one? You don't. You just make it up, Marcy. You just decide. Sometimes it's my dad, sometimes it's my mom, sometimes it's my mother-in-law, sometimes it's my grandpa. It doesn't matter. It's whatever comforts me. And so what Laura has done here is she has taken her capacity to feel. I know all of you on the call can see my hands on the replay. My hands are up and they're about 6 inches apart. And if you have grief on the left hand and love on the right hand, then and they're close together, you haven't really expanded your capacity to feel because you wouldn't feel grief if you didn't feel love, right? But what Laura has done is she has over time like pulled apart her hands. So her capacity to feel these things has gotten broader. The grief might not be as intense. And the love is coming in with the memories, right? So your capacity to tolerate the loss has grown because you are inviting in more of the love. Okay? So what you have that Kate also has is your memories. And that's such a beautiful thing you did at the cemetery was you honored the love with the physical thing of the flowers, but you also honored the love with the memories. And you wouldn't be able to do that if you didn't also feel the grief. Isn't that amazing? It's just such an amazing concept. It makes the grief meaningful.
You know how to phrase things, Kathy, in such a way that it's comforting.
Well, I often say, Laura, that, you know, if you walk into Walmart and the greeter who's always there is not there anymore because they've passed away, you'd be like, oh, that's sad. And you'd keep going. Right? Because you don't have the emotional connection to the greeter at Walmart or your neighbor or somebody like that that you read about in the obituaries. But when you have the emotional connection, the grief is stronger, but so is the love. And the more you can experience both of them, the more you can recognize the cardinal, talk about the memories, laugh at stories. Oh my gosh, y'all, my dad was crazy. And y'all hear me talk about him on calls all the time. I've always got some crazy story about my dad.
My dad was really funny too.
My dad was a hoot, and I am nothing like him. He could talk to anybody. He was like making friends. He was a Xerox salesman. You remember Xerox machines?
Oh yeah.
Everybody in the county, because he'd walk into the library going, "Hey, how's your Xerox machine? You need another one? Oh, and how's your mom and them?" And all that. I can't do that. I'm just like, "Hi, call me if you need a Xerox machine." Right? But he had all this energy and all this personality. And I love laughing about some of the stories he would tell as he went on his routes. And I miss him at the same time because I don't get new stories, but I get to relive all the amazing old stories, just like you did at the cemetery.
How do you...
That is, let me just finish. That okay. is permission to feel.
Permission to feel. Okay.
Okay. Now, how do you what?
How do you get past the sadness of them not being here for additional grandchildren, great-grandchildren that have come after they've been gone? And we're like, oh, I wish they could have met those six, seven, eight.
Yeah. Do you want to get past that sadness?
I don't know.
I mean, so my dad knew two of my grandkids. I have six now.
Wow.
And when I think about that, I think, I just, y'all, I surround myself with as many lush thoughts as I can. First of all, I think, well, he's in heaven seeing Patrick being crazy, the only grandson. Well, dad's, you know, that dad's up there seeing, you know, Mary Grace do this or Emma do that or whatever. But from a broader perspective, yeah, I wish he could have been here because I love him and because I know he would have enjoyed them. So why wouldn't I want to think that?
My dad was a big kid around the grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
That he had, and now their children, he would be down on the floor, even in his 90s,
yeah,
and playing with the little people, like he called them.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of your little people. And he was like a big kid around them.
Can you picture him in the floor with all the grandkids, even the ones he didn't get to meet?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah. How does that feel?
Comforting.
There you go. So you'd see you don't want to stop thinking about him.
No.
You don't want to stop thinking about those things. You want to invite those things in because that's where the love is.
And I've been thinking about my mom. There's a picture of her right now on the Google frame. It keeps coming up since I've transitioned to California from Montana. I have been seeing her picture. Several pictures every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Every single day. And we have hundreds of those photos on there.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, they go through a routine and a new picture will come up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll only see the newest pictures. And then an old picture will come up. But since I've been here in Carlsbad, in this house, I'm seeing those pictures. I don't know why, but it's like a random selection.
Mm-hmm.
It'll come up. And I did see them in Montana. But I'm sitting facing it now instead of off to the side on my recliner couch up there. And they're front and center. Pictures of her with my grandson that's local. And they were very close. And I'm
What a
seeing
gift.
mainly pictures of her and
What a
not as
sweet
many of my
gift.
dad.
So, for some reason, you get to experience the memories of your mom today.
A lot since the last week. And it's like, oh, mom would be doing this. And Raphael came over with his parents last night, my oldest son, and he's 14 now. And when she passed away, he was six. And I know she would be right there with him, asking him all the questions I do about how was your school day? What is your freshman year in high school like? What subjects are you taking? And she would be so into it. And we lost her to Alzheimer's, and it was a very painful way to watch somebody go. But when he was little and she was before she was diagnosed, oh my gosh, they were best friends.
So now you get to be that person for him and for her. How beautiful is that? You get to step into that role for both of them and for yourself, really and truly.
As soon as I got down here, right before I left Montana, I said I need to keep a connection going. And high school is such a hard time. But he's the sweetest kid. And I said, I'm going to text him every day after school. How was your day? And he'll say, hi, Nana. How was your day? My day was, I did this, that, and the other, and PE. And we have found that connection again, even though we're usually 1,200 miles apart. Now we'll be snowbirds, so we'll be here all winter. And then we'll go back up to Montana for the summer. So we'll have the best of two worlds.
So sweet.
So I'll keep that connection going.
Because when you're connecting with him on behalf of your mom and yourself, you're connecting with her as well.
Yeah, I've learned
And
by watching
connection,
her.
and connection makes us all feel really good. We are pack animals. We love being connected to people. And we connect through our mind and through our actions. Right? One of the ways I love to connect is to nature. I love being outside. And, there's no reciprocal thing going on there. It's all me having these lush thoughts about where I am and the beauty of the world. That's what you're doing here. You might not have a two-way connection with your parents, but you have all these lush thoughts and lush feelings and lush actions that you're doing every day that keep you connected to them. And that's the beauty of acknowledging and feeling grief, because then you get to acknowledge and feel love. So I think you're cooking with hot grease there, Laura. I do. How do you think? What do you think?
It's just a combination of big feelings, since November 5th. And then the stronger feeling was I'm back close to where they are. Their souls are gone, but this is where we always got together is in this town. They would come visit me and I would go down and visit them, a town or two away. So the memories are really flooding back.
So when it comes to dealing with big emotions around multiple things, you want to pull them apart. Today, we're going to focus on my parents. And I'm going to do it in these ways. Then later on, maybe I'm going to focus on work or relationships or the news or whatever's creating other big emotions. You want to break them down into smaller pieces. Because when you have all the things all the time and your brain doesn't break them down into smaller pieces, then it can seem very overwhelming. So when we have overwhelm, we break things into smaller pieces. So maybe one day you work on the grief and the love for your parents, and the next day you work on the news, and the next day you work on something else that's bothering you, and the next day you work on something else, just so it seems like it is smaller, more manageable chunks for you. Okay?
That's excellent advice.
Yeah.
This weekend I concentrated on my sister visiting. The TV was off pretty much the whole weekend. She and I are polar opposites politically. So we agreed 9 years ago, no more politics. We'll talk about family. And we have so many other things to talk about. I mean, she's been my sister for 66 years. So we have history together. And I extended an olive branch, but she said, it's just better you stay in your lane and I'll stay in mine.
I think that's
why. I said, okay, that's fine. If that's the way you want it, that's the way we'll play it. So I accepted that. We went out to lunch with our little brother, and he brought up, you know, how about that election? And Patty cut him off right away. And he did not take the hint, said a few more things. And I looked at him eye to eye, and I said, between Patty and I, it went like this. We don't discuss politics. And then Patty had to explain, Laura's on the other side. Laura's on the other side.
Well, I, just so we don't start a flood of everything.
Yeah.
I think you've handled that very well. It sounds like you think you've handled that very well. And that's the most important thing. When you, we all have disagreements with people. It doesn't have to be just on that topic. It can be on the weather. It can be on, you know, anything.
Yeah.
And when you choose to honor the relationship over the disagreement, I just feel like that's the way to go. So well done you.
Yeah, that's the way we do it.
Yeah.
And it works for us.
All right. Beautiful.
Thank you so much for your time, Kathy. I really
You are very welcome. You're very welcome. You take care, okay?
You too.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Nanette, thank you for raising your hand. Let's see what you got. Let's get you unmuted. There you go.
Hey, hello.
Hi.
How are you? I love the painting behind you, by the way.
Thank you. That there's a story there. There's a member of No BS named Chelsea, who painted that for me. She's an amazing artist. And when I first took this job, I said, I need something behind me. Will you just paint something? And she said, yeah, what do you want? I said, just think of me and let your thing go. And if you look at the painting, it starts on one side and it's a little dark and it gets lighter, lighter, lighter. And she said, at the time when I had just left my job and came into coaching, she said, I saw you transition into this, you know, beautiful new phase of your life. And so that's what she painted. And so it's very personal. I'll probably start crying just thinking about it, but I just think it's beautiful. So thank you.
I do too. And I didn't see the dark part because your head is.
My head's in the way. Yeah.
That's a beautiful story too. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. What can I help you with?
So I was listening to, first of all, I'm one of the people who mostly listens to replays in the car. I do try to, put into practice what I hear. But I was listening to a recent coaching call from Corinne, and she mentioned something about if you're eating at night, it's because you have feelings of restriction all day long. So nighttime eating is my biggest thing. I make my plan every morning, usually at like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. And I feel like I'm making a plan that is very doable, filled with foods that are good for me as well as foods that I think taste good.
Okay.
I've also been experimenting with planning a sweet every day, because I feel like the future me is the kind of person who can have one every night and, a small one and not have it be a big deal. But lately, I just find that I'm not following my plan. I do well during the day. I usually pack my own lunch and breakfast that I bring to work. I'm a special education teacher. And usually by the time dinner rolls around, I'm eating past enough at dinner, eating what's planned usually. And then I just want to eat all night long. It's like I can't turn it off.
So you said you heard what Corinne said about restricting all day. And I can imagine that many people do have nighttime eating adventures due to restriction all day. Do you think that's you, or do you think there's another reason?
I think she was talking about managing your thoughts and the way that you think about your plan when you see other food. So again, I'm a special ed teacher. I teach life skills. We have a kitchen in our classroom. We're teaching cooking, and I sit and eat with coworkers and see all of their food. And I think what I've been saying is subconsciously is, oh, I can't have that. I can't have that. I can't have that, which is kind of what she was alluding to. And she said, it was important to change your mindset around, what you're saying to yourself.
So you took, look, what a beautiful example, everyone. Of someone who took someone else's coaching and applied it to their life. Well done, Nanette.
Thanks.
So if you're thinking, I can't have that, of course you're going to like, eventually you're going to, the resistance is going to wear off and you're going to be like, I got no energy, I'm just going to eat.
Yep, that's
Okay.
exactly what happens. Yep.
What would happen if you caught that thought and said, that I can't have that thought, and said, you know what? Today I'm choosing not to have that. How does that change for you, things for you?
I think that would help. I just can't seem to catch the thought.
So you, all right, it's beautiful. So you think it intentionally, on purpose. When you sit down at the table and you see everyone else's food, I'm choosing to have my food. I'm choosing not to eat their food. In fact, I made my choice when I made my plan today, and it's too super realistic and doable. And let's see where that takes you. See what I'm saying? When you pull, when you say I can't, then it's always like there's an outside force that's preventing you from doing something. But when you say I get to, or I'm choosing this, it becomes all you. And that feels more empowered. It feels more controlled. It feels safer. All those things. And those are the feelings that you want to carry into the nighttime. Controlled, calm, safe. Because guess what? If you're controlled, calm, and safe, your nervous system isn't jacked up. You're not trying to regulate because you're off the charts anxious or upset. You're controlled. You're safe. Feel okay. That's what we want to tap into. That's what we want to find. And you can do that by changing how you talk to yourself throughout the day.
Maybe I need to write that on my, like, put a little sticky on my lunch, so it reminds me when I am sitting down to eat lunch.
So, the last time this happened, tell me what you were eating at the table when you probably had the thought, I can't eat that, I have to eat this. What do you think you were eating?
I usually eat the same stuff most of the time just because it's easy. But like I usually have like a salad with some kind of protein in it, or sometimes I'll make even like a peanut butter and sandwich. But last time that it happened would have been so last week on Friday. So I had a salad with protein, and my coworkers are eating pizza and things like that. And
So why did you choose the salad?
because that's what I had at home.
Okay.
I don't
This is
have
what I
time
had
to
at
go
home.
out and get lunch. Yeah.
Right. This is what was easy. I like salad. I picked a protein I like too. I didn't put jackassery on this salad that I wasn't going to like. I put the stuff on there that I did like, right? So that's the conversation that you have about your food. Do you think Corinne ever looks across the table and sees pizza and says, I wish I could have that? She probably does. Right? But do you think she lets it go into nighttime eating? Or do you think she's like, yeah, I wish I could have that pizza, but damn, this salad's good. And this, I know this salad is what's going to keep me at the weight I'm at. It's going to nourish my brain. It's going to give me the nutrients I need. It's going to make my body feel good. She's talking lush about the salad while she's looking at the pizza.
True. Yeah. Talking lush
Right?
about what you have.
Yeah. She's not just looking at the pizza with this forlorn look going, I'll never be able to eat pizza again. I wish I could have pizza. Yeah. No, she's like, yeah, that pizza looks good, but so does my salad. Right? So that's what I would encourage you to do. We have all these thoughts all day long, right? They come automatically. There's like some file ticker in the back of our brains that's going, let's try this thought. Let's try this thought. Hey, here's one. All day long, 30,000 of them, right? But that doesn't mean we can't think things on purpose. That doesn't mean when you pull that salad out, you can't go, whoo, so glad I got
Delicious.
a salad today. This is going to be a good one. Right? Instead of not thinking that on purpose and going, well, they've got pizza again. I've just got this salad.
Yeah, I think I do need to get a lot more intentional in my thinking.
I'm telling you, it makes a big difference. You on purpose. It's just like going to work. How many days? Monday mornings. You ever lay in bed on Monday morning and go, oh, another
And
week?
I do that. I'll say to myself, I get to go to work today.
Well, if you go, you know what? I've got a pretty dang important job. I'm teaching life skills to special ed students. I better get myself up, get ready for work, because I'm a pretty big deal. Such a different conversation. But if we just leave it to our brains while we're laying in bed, we're going, oh, another Monday.
This bed is
Right?
so comfortable.
Right. So important to guide our thinking when we need to. And I will say this too. Tomorrow, no, Tuesday night, November 19th. I'm subbing in for MJ. It used to be the wind down call. Now it is wine and drinking. Sorry, wine and drinking. Wine and eating at night. So
Great.
we get it right. It's a nighttime eating and drinking call. So we'll be doing that again on Tuesday night. We'll talk
That's
some more.
terrific. I don't drink much wine, just, socially, but I enjoy those calls and I can always apply them to food. So that's great that we're just gonna expand
We're
it
just going
like
to talk about all of it.
that.
Talk about all of it. Okay.
Thank you.
So, the point for you to close your loop, if you talk to yourself in a more lush way throughout the day about what you're eating, then when the nighttime urges come, if they do, you have something, a different part of the conversation to add. It won't just be a Katie bar the door, I get to eat because I didn't get to eat all day. You can intentionally think some different things and see if that helps. Okay?
Yeah, I think it's going to help a lot because I already feel like it's going to really take the temperature down on a lot of
Awesome.
it. All right. Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. You're welcome. Okay, everybody. I think that is it for the day. It was my pleasure to be here. And I saw Ashley working like a boss in the chat and in the Q&A. So if you didn't get what you needed today, please go to Ask Coaches. Hit us up in the Facebook group, whatever it is you need to do. And I will see you throughout the week this week. Okay? Have a beautiful day. See you soon.